My dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, it's wonderful to be gathered with you again this beautiful morning to worship our Father in heaven, but mostly to receive from Him. He's got all everything, and we have all needs, so it's a good relationship that we have with our loving Father. And so as we gather, let us remember the day that He brought us into His family by His amazing grace through the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the redemption that your Son Jesus earned for us, the faith that the Spirit has brought us, Lord, and the work that the Spirit is going to do in our hearts today because of the word that we will sing and speak. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be faithful to your people as you have promised. Give us strength and wisdom, passion as we move forward to do your work in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. Help us, Lord, to see your face, to feel your forgiveness, to know of your mercy, and to have the confidence of knowing that we can spend eternity in heaven with you. Thank you, Lord, for all these things, and receive our praise. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I would like to ask Lisa Lockwood to come forward. Is she here? There she is. Outstanding. All right. Lisa Lockwood is, you all know that Linda Dane took a call to our Savior in Fenton, and that's fine, right there. You're good. Thanks. Linda Dane took a call to our Savior in Fenton, and which left us a teacher that we were needing. And God sent us a wonderful lady who is going to be able to be an instructor in our school, and that is Lisa Lockwood. And so as you are beginning your ministry here, I'd like to pray for you. Is that okay? All right, folks, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the school that you have given us, this ministry to the young people, Lord, our ability to be able to speak faith into the hearts of these children, Lord, as they learn about the world that you have made and all the gifts that we have received from you in this world. Lord, I pray that you would be with her, that you would give her wisdom, that you would give her strength, that you would give her discretion, Lord, that you would help her to be able to speak your word, to speak your love, and to love the students, Lord, in a way that you would bring you glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa, Lord, and all she is for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And now you have to stay. All the rest of the teachers have to come forward now. Now, I'm really excited about this because...
And staff.
Teachers and staff. Okay, there we go. Come on forward, and I'm really excited about this because this is a, how do I say this? This is your opportunity to see all the people that are working in the school all week long. I think sometimes the congregation doesn't realize what a big operation this is and how many people are involved in this, and this is not everybody who works in the school. This is the teaching staff that is helping with our ministry here. And so, folks, this is how this works. These people work for God, right? But in the same sense, they work for God through us. And because they are serving our children and serving for us, doing the ministry that God has given us as a church to do, we owe them. We owe them our prayer. We owe them our support. We owe them encouragement. We owe them all the different things that they're going to be able to need to do the ministry that God has called them through our congregation. And so I ask you this morning, congregation, will you keep these people in your prayers? Will you support them and encourage them and hold them up to our Lord so that our Lord can strengthen them as they do their ministry? If so, say, I will with the help of God. Outstanding and teachers. I know your hearts and I know that this is what you want, but I'm going to have to make you say it. Will you continue to love the children that God has entrusted to you and love them by teaching them the gospel, teaching them about all the wonderful things that God has created in his world, teach them how to communicate, teach them how to love each other, and teach them the entire, everything that they are going to need to live as God's children in this world? If so, say, I will with the help of God. Outstanding. And with that, I eagerly anticipate another year of ministry, another year of serving these children and their families, another year of watching God work and do amazing things in the lives of his people. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have given us this ministry, that you have given us these children, that you have given us these families, Lord, that we get to serve. Lord, you love these families. And because you love these families and because we love you, Lord, we love these families and we want to serve them. I pray that you would bless the work of these teachers, bless their preparation, bless their teaching, bless the conversations that they have with the children, bless the word of God that these teachers are able to teach, so that these children may grow in a relationship with you, that they may have a relationship with you that will continue to grow throughout their lives, that they will be always secure in the knowledge that they are your children and that you care for them, that you are with them, and that you are eagerly anticipating the day when they will be in heaven with you forever. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, and I would like to ask Mr. Denning to come forward.
Thank you. I have to get my reading glasses on now. I have reading glasses. First of all, let me introduce Kathy Frazier with child and child in that. So she's going to introduce, allow us to introduce our staff to you. So teachers and staff, turn around and face the congregation. And when we call your name, please wave or step forward or shout hooray or whatever you want to do. All right,
good morning. So starting from your right, I guess. I'll start with Miss Glenda. She's the lead of the monkeys class. And we have Miss Tiffany, who's one of our new summer assistants and coming back this fall. And Miss Courtney is our new frogs lead teacher. Miss Karen is our bumblebees lead teacher. Miss Jennifer's our owls lead teacher. Miss Kelly Kruger is our pandas lead teacher. Miss Julie Kruger is our little travelers lead teacher. And that's all of our early childhood here right now.
As well as Miss Tanya Cunha, who's our assistant, full-time assistant childcare director, not here today. She had commitments at her church this morning at 2. And as far as the day school and other staff is concerned, we have Mrs. Debbie Armbruster, middle school teacher. As you heard earlier, Miss Lisa Lockwood, another middle school teacher. Jackie Langley, our third and fourth grade teacher. Susan Mueller, our first and second grade teacher. Janet Landgraf, our kindergarten teacher. Carrie Turner, our kitchen director. Linda Hamilton, another one of our amazing cooks. Patricia Klein, another cook that we have. Of course, you know Miss Lauren Bates, Miss DCE, party extraordinaire lady. Miss Laura Faltz, our music ministry director. Mrs. Sean Stewart, our office administrator. Ms. Donna Rindu, our accountant, and Mrs. Leslie Martineau, publication, and of course, the pastor of all pastors, Pastor Bob. And that. So please give our staff, 2021-2022, staff. I also have a couple of anniversaries that we need to identify from the Missouri District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for 5 years of faithful service, Susan Mueller, and 5 years of service, Jackie Langley. So give them a round of applause, please. And then, big news, just this week, we received from the National Lutheran Accreditation Commission, we just finished year 3 of our 5-year plan, and we got re-accredited. So our national accreditation is still in place. And we also received the Missouri Non-Public School Accreditation Association Award and the National Federation of Non-Public School State Accrediting Associations. So we have 3 national accreditations again for St. Mark. Give ourselves a whole round of applause for that. And finally, school starts this Wednesday. Are we excited? Are we ready? But we have a theme. Growing faithfully. Growing faithfully. Last year's theme was amazing. God is in control. And through the COVID situation we had last year, he was in control. He was in control. But now we need to reopen. We need to revitalize. We need to regrow. And so we're going to grow faithfully through the school year. So I would ask for three things again. I would ask you for your prayers as we begin the school year on Wednesday. Number two, I would ask you for your support, and I would ask you for encouraging words to everybody you see here in purple shirts this morning that we have an amazing school year. So we ask God to bless this year and to bless us as we grow faithfully. So thank you very much for having us come up front here and meeting us who we are. Pastor, all yours.
Thank you. Here you go. There's some more.
I know, more stuff.
Yeah, that's all right. You're good. All right, folks. What a blessing it is to have a church that is so steeped in ministry. I mean, we have this incredible ministry to the children. What is it right now? I think it's like 140 kids in our school between infant through eighth grade. The amount of impact that we are able to have in the hearts and minds of these children as we teach them, as we guide them, as we introduce them to their Lord and Savior, the one that can actually tend their souls and care for them their entire lives, it's profound. And I'm not going to pretend that it's the easiest ministry to manage. It's complex, and it's difficult, and it's unbelievably worth it. You know, unbelievably worth it. And so I'm just praise God. Praise God that he has made this possible. Praise God that he has sent us such wonderful teachers and such wonderful staff. Praise God that he has sent us such wonderful families that we get to work with. And we just praise God for all the opportunities that he gives us. And then we work like crazy to do whatever we can to make it happen. And expect his blessing to make it work. All right? So as we look forward to this year, let us return to our worship service here. And in our worship service, the next thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness for those sins. It's the most natural thing in the world to do when we come into the presence of our God. We notice how perfect, how holy, how immense he is, and how unworthy we are in his presence. And so the thing that we need to hear most right now is how God has made things right, how we have peace with God through this forgiveness. So please stand as we confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise. We have seen what God is doing through our ministry. We have seen what God has done in our lives by giving us this forgiveness of sins. Let us praise this God who has so generously blessed us.
Thank you. For contempt. morning. My name is Kevin Shigg. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from John chapter 6, verses 51 to 69. Jesus is speaking. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Kevin. And now it is time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys want to come forward, Mr. Denning has the children's message for us this morning.
The last few Sundays, we've been talking about bread. Bread this and bread that. As I went shopping for my wife at the grocery store, I would buy some bread. Only I didn't know there were that many different kinds of bread. So let me show you what I got. I got pumpernickel bread. Why we have pumpernickel bread, I have no idea. Rye bread. Have you ever seen rye in the field? I have. Healthy multigrain. Now that should be important, right? Healthy multigrain. Okay, so we're going to keep that one. All right. We also have oat nut bread. I've seen oats in the field too. Forget that one. 100% whole wheat. Not just wheat, but 100% whole wheat. That's got to be good, right? Wow, we're really quiet today. Okay, we're going to keep that one. All right? And then my favorite. Oh, this takes me back to my boyhood. Wonder Bread. White bread. White bread. Which is not good for you, is it? No, it's not. It's not. So we've had a lot of bread. Jesus knew, even back in Bible times, bread was very important. Every morning, God sent bread from heaven for the people to eat. I'm sure you also remember the time when Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Or Jesus even taught his disciples to pray, Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah. So bread is and always has been a very important way of life. Now, a loaf of bread here won't last forever. It gets old and stale and sometimes gets mold on it. Have you opened up a loaf of bread when there's mold on it? Yeah, me too. Me too. But when we eat it, we're satisfied for a little while, and then we get hungry again. Even though Jesus knew that bread was very important to life, he wanted something more for his people. He wanted something that lasts forever. So one day as he was teaching, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, you will live forever." That's very cool. That's very cool. So if we want to live, we need bread. But if we want to live forever, we need Jesus, the bread of life. All right, let's going to pray about this, and you can repeat after me what I pray. Dear Father, we thank you for Jesus, the bread of life. We pray that each one here today will take and eat so that we may live forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Have a great day.
Excellent. All right. And now it is time for a little worship. And there should be somebody. There we go. I meet at the cross in the center aisle. And you guys, oh, good morning, sweetheart. and there will be come to the cross in the center aisle, and you guys can have a lesson just for you, and that's for 4-year-old through fourth grade. And the rest of us are going to open up God's word right here and now. All right, the text for today is Joshua 24, verses 1 through 15. This happens after the children of Israel have been, well, there's going to be a lot of history in there, but basically this is after the conquest of the land, after Joshua and the children of Israel were able to take possession of the land because God really, truly just gave it to them. He fought their battles for them. And so it starts with this. Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, the son of Beor, to place a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, and Gerashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and a cities which you did not build, and you lived in them, and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord does not seem, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. God said a really simple contrast, a simple choice between the or for the children of Israel. Who are you going to serve? Who is going to be your God? What God will you chase after? What God will you seek? What God will you give your lives to? Which God will you serve? And the choices couldn't be more stark. We start with the gods that that Abraham and his father served on the far, on the in the Euphrates in the land of Ur. Back before God called Abraham into his service. And the only thing we know about those gods is that Abraham easily left, and those gods, if they existed, didn't do anything to stop God from taking Abraham away. I mean, when Abraham came face to face with the true God, there was no choice. He obeyed the call. When God came to him and said, go to the land that I will show you, Abraham, by faith, followed God. And God blessed him. God blessed Abraham throughout his entire life. Abraham was not a perfect guy. If you guys remember reading the Old Testament at this point, Abraham frequently did foolish things. He frequently was afraid of powerful people. He twice allowed his wife to be taken away from him because he was afraid that if he didn't let this powerful person take his wife, that he would be killed for his wife. Seems an odd thing to do. But because Abraham believed God and trusted God, God credited him righteous because of the faith that Abraham had in God. And God continued to bless Abraham. Abraham was given the promise that he would have many descendants, and that all the land that he was able to see from this high ground was going to be his one day. And God brought it into being. He brought it into being right as these, it came to its complete fulfillment right in this time, when in the time of our text, when Joshua and the children of Israel were given the land of Canaan, as the text says, they ate from vineyards and from trees that they did not plant. Somebody else planted them. Somebody else tended them. Somebody else made them, and then God gave them in their entirety to the children of Israel. God blessed Abraham, and then he blessed Abraham's descendants. He said he gave some hill country to Esau, but Jacob and Joseph and that part of the family were taken down into Egypt, where they were provided for during a famine. But then you know that while they were in Egypt, they became slaves, and they cried out to God for deliverance. And what did God do? Delivered them. And the way he delivered them was amazing. The way he delivered them, every single plague that God visited upon the Egyptians were obvious pokes at the Egyptian deities. The Nile River was considered a divine river, and the first plague was turning it into blood. So which was the more powerful God, the God of the Egyptian or Yahweh, the real God? And every single one of the plagues did exactly that, poked at these Egyptian deities, showing that they were nothing compared to the God of the Hebrews. And so God showed his dominance. He showed his power. He showed that he was greater. And now the children of Israel are in the land. And as they, you have to kind of understand how the theology of the day worked. When two countries went to war in these days, both lands had their own gods. And as the people fought, it was understood in the minds of the people that this was also a struggle between the two deities, that the gods of the one nation, the gods of the other nation, were going to fight, and whichever nation had the more powerful god would be the nation that would win the war. Well, who won the war? The children of Israel. And as God said, the children of Israel did not win. They did not get to take over this promised land because of their own sword or bow, but God gave it to them. And I mean, from the very first battle, when the children of Israel were up against Jericho, the children of Israel were people who were not, they were not great warriors. They were slaves, the descendants of slaves who had lived their whole lives in the wilderness. They weren't armies. They didn't have lots of weapons. But the city of Jericho fell into their hands because God made the walls fall down. God gave it to them. And every single fight was like that. The children of Israel participated in some way, but God's the one that made it happen. And so after all this history, Joshua says to the children of Israel, choose this day who you will serve. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be the gods of the fathers of Abraham, way off on the land beyond the Euphrates? The gods that Abraham, when he compared the true God to those gods, there just wasn't any comparison. Was it the gods of the land of Israel? The gods of the nations that Israel was to drive out? Those gods that, if they existed, lost the war to the children of Israel, could not stand up against the God of Israel? Was it the God of the Egyptians, who were completely outmatched by the God of the Hebrews, was unable to stand up to the power of the true God, and that our God humiliated through the plagues? Who are they going to serve? And Joshua says, the obvious. My house, we're serving the real Lord, the real God, the one who has done all this for us, the God of power, the God of grace, the God who's merciful, the God who provides for his people, the God who protects his people, the God who makes promises and follows those promises through to the end, fulfilling them. This is the God that we will serve. And today I ask you guys the same question: what God will you serve? Because we have our own history with God, don't we? I mean, we remember where we would be without him. We remember the time when we were lost, the time that we were unable to do anything to save ourselves, that the standard for heaven was perfection and we were not able to be perfect. There was nothing that we would be able to do to be good enough to deserve to spend eternity with God in heaven. And having only one other alternative, not a good one, we were destined for eternal death in hell. But our God would not stand for this. Our God, the God that loves us, the God that created us, the God of all creativity and power, used his creativity, his power, to rescue us. And we have a God who, from the beginning, from that first sin in the Garden of Eden, made a plan for our salvation, a plan to redeem us from hell. And this God walked with his people throughout history. This God revealed himself and his plan of salvation. This God worked to keep that chosen nation, that holy people that he had called to himself, faithful to himself, so that his plan of salvation could be worked out, so that when Jesus came, people would know him, recognize him, understand the Old Testament history, understand the Old Testament prophecies, and that Jesus could be recognized for who he is. The very Son of God, born of a virgin, living in this world not as a king, but as someone who is quite seemingly unremarkable, not unbelievably good looking as the heroes in all of the stories, but as someone who's just not that memorable because of his appearance. But he was remarkable. The Son of God, born into this world with the express purpose of making sure that we know who the Father is, revealing to us the Father's heart, and then taking the sin of the world on himself, suffering and dying in our place. This God who has done all this, and he wasn't done. After he rose from the dead for us so that we could have eternal life, he returned to his disciples and he told his disciples, "I'm giving you work to do in the world. I want you to go, and as you go into this world, I want you to teach, I want you to baptize, I want you to share this gospel, this message of salvation with the people. But here's the real kicker: I will be with you always. I will never leave you alone. During the times of your life when you are feeling most isolated, most alone, I will be with you. I will hold you up. I will give you strength. I will be your God. And nothing can separate me from you." And with this unbelievable, amazing history, based solely upon his amazing grace, based upon his love for us, his sacrifice for us, his constant work, keeping us in him, giving us faith, holding us in that faith, continuing to feed our faith through his word, bringing us into faith through baptism, all of the work that God continues to do throughout our lives. And I ask you, is there any God like him? Is there anybody who is worth serving besides him? And in the words of Joshua today, I ask you, who will you serve? Will you not serve this God who has done so much? This God who loves you so much? This God who has sacrificed so much? And this God who is giving us the promise of eternity with him in a perfect place, when all our troubles are gone and we are able to just soak him up forever? What God is like him? How could we not serve this God, love this God, sacrifice for this God, Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good, so amazing, so merciful, so active, so powerful. And Lord, it's astounding that you have chosen to love us. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us receive this grace, this mercy, this love. Help us enjoy the identity that we have received from you as your children. And help us, Lord, serve you with our lives. Help us to respond to your grace with acts of service and love for the people around us, and with a staunch confession of what you have done for us, who you are, and how you wish to act in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My dear friends, it is now time for us to continue to give praise to our God. There is no way to heaven but through Christ. There is no way to have a relationship with the Father but by his Son. And so let us sing the song "In Christ Alone."
No guilt in mind, no
We've just sung in Christ alone, that there's nothing else to lean on as we look for the assurance of our salvation. And so how appropriate that it is that we are confessing our faith using the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed this morning, as it is talking all about Jesus and his work and what he has done for us. Please stand as we confess. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, we're about to go into the time of prayer, which is an amazing gift that God gives us, that because we are his children, because we have been redeemed, because he counts us as his own, he has promised to hear our prayers and promised to listen and respond to our prayers. And so let us take every advantage of this morning. Few things that we want to remember in prayer. I guess there was just my wife told me this morning that there was a really severe earthquake in Haiti. Haiti hasn't recovered from the earthquake that happened like 10 years ago. And now they are once again in devastation. And so we want to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Haiti. The Afghanistan is a real mess. There right now are a lot of our public servants and our people in Afghanistan are right now destroying all of their documents and equipment and being pulled out of their stations there. And so we want to be holding them in prayer as they are in jeopardy. We also want to be praying for the Afghanis who are left behind, and things are not going to be good for them. We also want to pray for the upcoming school year. We have, again, such an amazing blessing that we have this ministry. And we work like crazy, but we depend on God to make things work. And so let us pray and ask his blessing and his assistance in this. And then, of course, we want to keep everybody who is struggling with diseases of all kinds, especially COVID, at this time, that God would continue to keep us healthy and safe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a good God. You are so faithful to your people. You have made so many promises, Lord. The ultimate promises of that eternal life, Lord, that Jesus earned for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to always be able to know and trust that promise, that no matter what happens in this life, Lord, we know always that we have that life to come, eternity with you in a perfect place, free from hunger, disease, sickness, famine, Lord, any bad thing. But Lord, while we are in this world, there is all of those difficult, bad things, Lord, and we pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Haiti. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you would provide for them. We pray that you would intervene, Lord, make your presence known, and that you would care for your people. Lord, I pray that you would use us. Give us opportunities, Lord, to reach out with acts of kindness and love as we have so much surplus, that we would be able to share it with those who are in such desperate need. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with those who are sick as well, as illness is another one of those effects of sin in this world that we will deal with until we are in heaven with you. But Lord, we pray that you would continue to give strength and health, Lord, to those who are struggling with their health at this time. Pray especially for Stu and Alice, who are ill right now. I pray that you would continue to give them strength and healing. Lord, just bless your people with health that they may return to your work and your service and the lives that you have given them. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the upcoming school year, bless the teachers, bless the students, bless their families. Lord, help them as they continue to increase in their knowledge of the world that you have created, the language that you have given us, the representation of our world, Lord, in mathematics, the details of the creation that you have made us in science, Lord, that in all the subjects, Lord, that you would be glorified because you are the one who gave us all of these things. And Lord, mostly I pray that you would bless the instruction in their faith, Lord. That they would know, Lord, first who you are and who they are because of you, that they are the adored children of you, that you care for them, that you don't just care for them, Lord, with words, but you care for them in truth and in sacrifice, as you have sacrificed yourself for them so that they can live eternally in heaven. Lord, I pray that that truth would be set deeply into the hearts of these students, so that they will always know of your love, your faithfulness, and that they will have that peace as they live their lives and as they look forward to eternity with you. Lord, all these things we bring before you this day, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, all of you, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Jesus, in your name we pray. you're like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name. There's a strong and mighty tower, your name. There's a shelter like no other, sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name. There's a strong and mighty tower, your name. Is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save.
My dear friends, we have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is no small thing. The body and blood of the God of all creation, it's pretty powerful stuff. And powerful because God's promise is attached to it. And God is faithful in his promises, and he has promised to give us forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation through this gift, and we know that he is faithful. And so as we go our way, depart in his peace. Amen. and receive our Lord's blessing as we go our ways. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Have a seat, my friends. A few things that we want to announce. First of all, backpack blessing is next week. And Mrs. A is going to do that during the children's message, and it's going to be something special. So if you guys want to bring your, if the children want to bring their backpacks next week, that would be great. And if they don't, they can still take part. The t-shirts that we're all wearing today, these are available to you guys as well. You can place the order online, or if you can't figure out how to do all that online fangled crap, that just or call the church office and we'll get it taken care of. And let's see here. Oh, we have a breakfast this morning. So let us, let's pray so that when we get down to the gym, we can just eat. Does that sound good? All right, let's do that then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for this this wonderful group of people who are all gathered together here in your name and the blessings that you have given us. And Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship that we have this morning when we can continue to grow in relationship with each other. And I pray that you would just be here, that you would bless our conversations, that you would grow us as a body, Lord. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for this food. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, I'll be in the back after the worship service to greet you. No Bible study today because of the breakfast. So just come on down and let's eat. And there's plenty of food. So even if, like, you know, you forgot and didn't bring something, don't worry about it. It's on me. All right. No, Lauren arranged for lots of food, so it'll be all taken care of. So just come on down.